So I've kind of noticed this about just about human beings, about us, how we talk. I think whenever we're looking forward to something, like whenever we're like excited about something, whenever we're anticipating something, whenever we want something, we kind of all say the same thing. We say the two words, or say three words, I guess. We say, "I can't wait," just like that sense of like, "I can't wait." So it's something like, "Yeah, can't wait for tomorrow. I'm so excited about tomorrow. I can't wait." Or, "I can't wait for our students. Like, I can't wait for this paper to be done. Like, I can't wait for finals to be over. I can't wait to finally go home. I can't wait to sleep in my own bed. I can't wait to just sleep. Like, I can't wait for Christmas." There's all these things that all the things we're looking forward to, we anticipate, we want. We just declare this about ourselves. I can't wait. And I think it's funny because out of all the times we actually say that, we're probably telling the truth. I think we're, as human beings, we're kind of pretty bad at waiting. Like, we're really not very good. In fact, I don't know if you guys have you ever heard of the 1971 Stanford Marshmallow Experiment? So there was an experiment they had with preschoolers in Stanford in 1971. And what they did is brought them to a room, they filmed them, and they had a marshmallow on a plate and said, "Okay, you can have one marshmallow now. I'm going to leave the room. If when I come back, the marshmallow is still here, you get two marshmallows." And the idea behind the whole experiment was if whether or not a preschooler who can have some delayed gratification would become an adult who has better delayed gratification, or do they become like, I don't know, thieves and criminals or something like this. And there was a conclusion they made. They reproduced the study back in 2018 and done it all over the world now. So the findings are inconclusive, but the videos are awesome. So if you ever just, this is my like third week of Advent present to you. Just look up the videos, Marshmallow Experiment, because it's amazing. These little kids, you see the drama of the human experience going on written all over their faces, where some kids are just like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'll wait and get two marshmallows when you come back." Others are like, they're covering their eyes. They put the plate upside down so they can't see the marshmallow. The others are turning like completely around. They can't look at the marshmallow. It's awesome because the fact is, as human beings, so often we can't wait. Literally, we can't wait. And I think that sometimes is the case not only with life. Here we are in the third week of Advent, coming up to Christmas. I think this is one of the cases too. We talked about Advent before, how Advent is a season to prepare for essentially three comings of Jesus. So we prepare to celebrate the first coming of Christ in Christmas. We prepare to get ready for the final coming of Jesus, but also there's this middle coming, and the middle coming is that Jesus is actually here. That God is closer than we think. So a few weeks ago, we highlighted the fact that God is so close, and yet too many of us have what you might call like a secondhand relationship with him. Too few of us have had to actually, even though God is closer than we think, too few of us have a first-hand encounter with Jesus. And so the invitation was, starting on the first Sunday, that Sunday of Advent, to take 29 minutes for the next 29 days from that first Sunday of Advent all the way to Christmas and just come into the Jesus's presence in the Eucharist. If you can get to a church, to just be in Christ's presence and beg him to reveal himself. Now, there are some people who, a bunch of people who have reached out to me and said, "I've been doing this and it's incredible." Even those who are part of the virtual front pew who have said that, you know, they're homebound. They literally can't get out of their homes. They said, well, you know, my spouse and I, or just myself, we pulled up a website that has perpetual adoration virtually, and 29 minutes, I sit there and I look at our Lord, the image of our Lord, even digitally, and it's been great, which is awesome. For those of you who have done this, these 29 minutes, and it's been a huge blessing, that's a blessing. Totally give God thanks for this. Most of us, though, you say, I've been doing this for 2 weeks, and entering into the third week and nothing is happening. Like, it's just one of those situations where, like, okay, you're talking about that I need to have a firsthand encounter with Jesus. I'm still waiting. You know, I mentioned the difficulty of going into the Lord's presence and, like, nothing happens last week. I want to talk about it more deeply this week because it's really important. Because, and I apologize, I'm going to give you the answer right now. If you enter into God's presence and you're praying regularly, and it feels like nothing's happening, here's the answer. And I apologize because it's not even my fault. It's St. James's fault. It's in the second reading today. That if you show up to prayer and it seems like nothing is happening, if you're trying to pursue the Lord, it feels like nothing is happening. It's not me, it's James. So if you get mad at me, don't get mad at me, get mad at St. James. Because St. James basically says, if this is what's happening in your life, simply be patient. And I know, you can throw tomatoes right now, but that's no one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear, like, when things are difficult, when things aren't going the way you want them, to just be patient. So I want to make this kind of easier by breaking down, like, how are you patient? In fact, there's three areas where we need, if this is what we're doing, we need to be patient. And the first is we need to be patient with the Lord. It can be so hard. I mean, it can be so difficult, and yet God is closer than you think. Here's what I mean. In the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament, remember Daniel, he's in exile with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, or Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. So Daniel is in Babylon. He's in exile. He's far from his homeland. And at one point in Daniel chapter 10, he says, I had a vision that God gave him this vision. And the vision was devastation. The vision was war. And it broke his heart. It's one of those kind of situations where here is Daniel, and he realized things are not like they should be. The injustice and pain in the world is not how it should be. And so he says this. He says, I mourned in those days. I, Daniel, mourned a full 3 weeks. I ate no savory food. I took no meat or wine. And I did not anoint myself at all until the end of 3 weeks. So here's this man who has this encounter with devastation, encounter with suffering. And immediately, he fasts. Immediately, he prays. He begs the Lord. And nothing happens. But then he says, on the 24th day of the first month, I was on the bank of the great river. He's still fasting. He's still praying. I looked up and I saw a man, you know, quote unquote man, dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite. His face shone like lightning. His eyes were like fiery torches. His arms and feet looked like burnished bronze. And his voice sounded like a roar of the multitude. It's an angel. Appears to Daniel, and he basically tells Daniel, he says this, Daniel falls down because he's in the presence of the Lord's messenger, falls down out of fear. And the angel reaches out and says, Daniel, beloved, understand the words which I'm about to speak to you. And he said this, I stood up, and he said, fear not, Daniel. From the first day you made up your mind to acquire understanding and humble yourself before God, your prayer was heard. From the first moment, not even from the first moment he fasted, from the first day he completed in prayer, he says, the angel says, from the first moment you even made up your mind to talk to the Lord, you even decided to pray, you decided to fast. From that moment on, your prayer was heard, from that instant. But nothing happened, right? For 3 weeks, he fasted. For 3 weeks, he avoided all savory food. For 3 weeks, he did penance and prayed, and nothing happened, and nothing felt like it happened. But immediately, he was heard. He says, because of it, because of your prayers, I started out. The angel said this. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is like a demon, essentially, stood in my way for 21 days until finally Michael, the chief of the angels, came to help me and left him there with the prince of the king of Persia. And I came to make you understand what shall happen in future days. So the whole thing is this. Daniel, when the moment his heart was broken and he even decided to turn to the Lord, who was there? God immediately. God immediately heard his prayer. But did he see anything? Did he feel anything? Did he realize anything? Absolutely not. Those 29 minutes, the 29 minutes that you and I show up in Jesus' presence, we can't control when or how God reveals himself. We just can't. And so we have to resolve, okay, don't rush him. Oh, not only because we can't rush God, but also because you don't have to rush God. Because he's there. Isaiah chapter 35, the first reading today. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Again, this is, if you know anything about the book of the prophet Isaiah, the first half, the first 40 chapters are called the Book of Woe. And the last 40 chapters are Book of Consolation. This is still in the Book of Woe, chapter 35. And what does Isaiah say to the people? He says, be strong, fear not. He says, here is your God. He comes to save you. Basically, you feel like God isn't here. You feel like he's doing nothing. You need to know this. God is here. God is doing something that basically, Isaiah is saying, God is closer than you think. Because it's true. God is closer than you think. And of course, we can hear that. We can even know this. We can even believe this and say, but are you sure? So John the Baptist in the gospel today, we have this story where John the Baptist sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who is to come? Like, are you the anointed one? Are you actually the Christ? It could be because John is trying to direct his disciples to go to Jesus and say, hey, go ask Jesus. And when you meet him, you're going to be like, okay, yeah, that's clearly the Lord. But, maybe John is like, yeah, I mean, I thought things would be different. Like, maybe John the Baptist is saying, like, I thought things would be happening a little faster than they're happening right now. I thought things would be a little different than they are. Yes, I know that I heard the voice at the baptism. I know I saw the dove on him. Descend upon him at the baptism. But like, are you sure? I mean, that's us so often, right? We can even know the Lord is present. I know God is here. I know God is closer than I think. But like, are you sure? The answer is God is here. That God is doing something. That God is closer than we think. So that's what we have to do. Our response is we just have to be patient. This is how it goes. Like, this is what it is to have a relationship with the Lord. This is what it is to pray. This is the process. So we have to be patient with the Lord, but also we have to be patient with the process. This is really, really critical to be patient with the process when it comes to prayer. To be patient with the process when it comes to any relationship, when it comes to any aspect of life. Because, of course, I can't wait. I want it done. But we need to learn how to be patient with the Lord. We need to learn how to be patient with the process. Because the process does two things, at least two things. The process prepares and the process reveals. We need to be patient with the process because the process prepares and the process reveals. So think about in the Old Testament. You have Daniel, of course. You also have the story of David. If you know anything about the story of David, when David is a kid, there's a prophet who comes to David's family, Jesse has a bunch of sons, and the prophet Samuel is going to anoint the new king of Israel. See, he sees David as a kid, and he anoints David as a child. And then what happens? He doesn't automatically become king. No, he's been anointed the king, but he doesn't become the king. In fact, what happens is he gets sent back out into the field. Imagine this. You are now anointed by the Holy Spirit. You're anointed by power. You're anointed by the prophet to be the future king of Israel and then go back into the field. And he didn't just go into the field and wait. He went into the field and he was prepared. Why? Because while he's out in the field, he writes some songs. While he's out in the field, he learns to play the lyre. While he's out in the field, he learns to defend the sheep against the animals. And so what happens? Well, later on, King Saul, the current king, he's having a tough time. Someone says, I know this shepherd boy who can sing and he can play the lyre and he probably can kind of soothe your troubled mind. So they send for David and he goes into the king's presence and he plays the lyre and he sings a song and he gets to also see how the court works because God's doing something in this. God is using this process, and this process is preparing David. He goes back to the field and continues to learn how to fight, continues to learn how to protect the sheep. So what happens? Goliath shows up, and David is ready. In fact, when he faces Goliath, David says, I'm prepared. Why? Not because I've been on the battlefield, because I've been a massive king, but because I've been in the field and I've protected sheep against lion and bear and this Philistine will be just like one of them because the process prepares us. So then what happens? David defeats Goliath. Saul takes him in. Saul makes him a general. David has all these battles. In all these battles, he's not yet the king. Remember, he wasn't anointed to be a king. He wasn't anointed to be a shepherd. He was anointed. He wasn't anointed to be a general. He wasn't anointed to be a shepherd. He was anointed to be a king. But he's not the king yet. He has all these battles, learns how to military strategy. But then King Saul wants to kill him. So he's on the run. Now this is the most interesting thing for me. While he's on the run, David like basically hooks up with a group of hooligans, a group of like bandits, essentially roving marauders, and he becomes the leader of them. And you can imagine, if you're David at this moment, to be like, what the heck is going on? I'm supposed to be a king, and I'm just basically the head of a gang. But the process prepares. And this process of David learning how to lead unleadable people was preparing him for the moment when he was to ascend the throne and become the king. And that's what happened. Even though David was anointed the king as a child, he didn't become the king until after he was 30 years old. But he wasn't just waiting. He was entering into the process, and the process was preparing him. That's why we can be patient, because the process prepares. So what we talked about last week is just, okay, how do you start the process? Well, just begin. What if you fail? Okay, no problem. Just begin again. The process is one step. Remember, we said this last week. The secret is God is in that step. God is closer than you think. The moment you take a step, the moment you make a choice, God is there. Because each step makes you stronger. Each choice makes you stronger. And now, of course, the reality could be like, maybe what if I don't want to be stronger? Like, what if I want instant results? I understand that. I get it. It also doesn't exist. There's no such thing. You can't microwave life. There is no such thing as a destination without a journey. Remember, you say it like this. There's no such thing as a worthwhile destination without a meaningful journey. There's no such thing as a destination that's worth getting to without a difficult journey. Where you are right now matters. Where you are right now is important. That's part of the process. But where you are right now is not where you always will be. That you won't be in this place forever. But right now, God is here. God is closer than you think. God is doing something. And here's the hard word, but it's also an encouraging word. Especially if you're in a difficult season. Like, God, why don't you do something more? Do something bigger. It feels like nothing's happening. No, this is the process. God is doing something in this that he couldn't do without it. Even if you're in the middle of confusion, even if you're in the middle of heartbreak, even if you're in the middle of the worst season of your life, God is closer than you think. He is here. He's doing something. In fact, he's doing something in this that he couldn't do without it. Therefore, be patient. Because the process is purifying you, but also the process reveals. I mean, think about this. Even 2 weeks ago, if you decided 2 weeks ago to take a step, if you decided any time in the last couple weeks to begin that process, even that beginning reveals something. I'll say this, to choose to enter into a process is to choose to wake up. Like, to choose to enter into the process is to refuse to remain oblivious. Because a lot of times we walk through life, we're kind of oblivious. We don't really actually know what life is like. We don't know what our own selves are like. C.S. Lewis wrote about this. He said, you know, you only know how strong the wind is when you stand against it. He was talking about sin and temptation. And he says, the only people who really know how how strong temptation is, how strong sin is, are the ones who resist it. So it's not until you decide, I'm not just going to go with the flow, I'm actually going to go somewhere, that we, our hearts are revealed to us. I can't know the strength or the weakness of my heart until I make a decision to try to be faithful. I can't know how reliable I am until I make a promise and then I try to keep it. I can't know how deep or how shallow my love is until I say, okay, 29 minutes every day. And then nothing happens. I don't want to keep showing up. That's when I find out how deep or how shallow my love is. That's when I find out whether I love myself, I love feelings, or whether I love God. Because the process reveals, and it takes time. Like that revelation, it takes time. We have to be patient. I mean, this is all relationships. We know this. This is every relationship. In fact, sometimes this happens. I may mention this a couple of years ago. I've had some couples who come to me who have said, hey, we want to get married on the same day we started dating 1 year ago. Like within a year, they married or they met and wanted to get married. And I've kind of said no to most of those weddings. Not because I don't think they're great couples, not because they can't work. In fact, whenever I say that, there's almost always, there's someone who says, well, Father, like my grandparents, they met and they got married within 6 weeks. And now they're in the 60th wedding anniversary. They're the best couple I know. And I would say yes. And just like I have read a pastor once who described that, and he said, yes, and some people go over Niagara Falls in a barrel and survive. That doesn't make it a reliable way to travel. I do not recommend this. Because why? Because there's some things that only time can reveal. We get along so well. That's awesome. Keep going. But you're going to find out there's some things only time can reveal. That's the process. It's not wrong. It's not bad. It's just the process. You can't rush it. You can only enter into it. And that's the thing for the Lord too. I want God to reveal himself the way I want him to reveal himself. I want to be new the way I want to be new. I can't rush that process. I can only be patient and enter into it. Why? Because God is closer than you think. God is here and God is doing something. I think we need to be patient with the Lord, patient with the process. And last is this last thing. We need to be patient with ourselves. I think one of the most painful things is when you start getting close to God, is we start seeing all the weeds in our lives. I don't know if this has been your experience, but when you start following the Lord, it's like, man, I am not as good as I thought. God might be closer than I think, but I am way worse than I ever thought, ever imagined. I started seeing all the weeds, I started seeing all the ways that I failed. I just want that to be done with. I just want, you know, it reminds me of elementary school. Would you ever do that? We had the milk cartons, you had to cut them in half, and they put the soil in there, and we plant a seed, and I remember leaving for the weekend, and I couldn't wait. Monday, we'll come back, and there'll be some kind of plant there, tomatoes, or whatever we're growing, and nothing had happened. And some people in our class, they were patient. They were the people who would have waited for the second marshmallow. There's, yeah, that's how it goes. That's let the plant grow. I, on the other hand, had to dig it up. I have like had to like see what was going on because it's not happening fast enough. And same thing happens with our spiritual lives. I look at myself and like, why am I not better than I am? You have to be patient with yourself. There was a monk back in the day named Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. He has written one of the most incredible spiritual books on how to pray, and basically, it's summed up in a few words. He called it the practice of the presence of God, just to realize that in every moment, God is present. In every place, God is present. It's recognizing, basically, living out the reality that God is closer than you think. But he got there through a lot of struggle. In fact, Brother Lawrence looked at his own life, looked at his own heart, and he said, I'm too slow in making progress. See, back to, here's what he said. He said, for 10 years, I was worried that my walk with the Lord wasn't good enough. And sometimes it got so bad that I thought I was on my way to hell. And he said, not because he was choosing a bunch of sins, to because it just wasn't fast enough. I'm going so slowly. How did he get out of this? Well, A, he resolved to recognize that God is closer than I thought in every single moment. He began this thing called the practice of the presence of God. Just, okay, God is here. And because God is here, this is important. Because God is here, because God is doing something in this, I'm going to stop expecting to grow any faster than he wants. In his words, he said, I resolve not to go faster than grace would allow. I can't hasten the growth of this plant. Like digging it up and seeing what's going on in there doesn't help. It takes how much time it takes. So I have to be patient with myself. Even when I find the weeds growing, this is the thing that can be so disheartening for so many people. Like, oh my gosh, there's so many weeds. You know, St. Francis de Sales, another saint, he had said this when he said, here's the thing. When we find the weeds growing, we have to resolve to do two things. One, we have to resolve to expect weeds in our field. Just to not be surprised by them. That they're going to be there. That's just going to happen. To not be surprised when the weeds are there, to expect them. And secondly, he said, to have the courage to witness their removal and even to lend a hand. So my invitation this week, in order to kind of clear the deck, to be patient with the Lord, patient with the process, and patient with ourselves, is to find that when the weeds have popped up, to be able to say, okay, I'm bringing this to Jesus. If you have the opportunity to go to confession within the next week or next 2 weeks, this is the invitation, is to go there. But not to go with this discouragement, to not to go with this accusation, to go with this freedom of knowing God wants me here. Because this is the process. So I'm going to be patient. That this is him. The Lord is here. He's closer than I think. So I'm going to be patient. And even when I find weeds in my heart, I'm simply and gently going to say, I can't go any faster than grace will allow. I can only not be surprised when the weeds are there and then give them to the Lord in the sacrament of confession. I'm going to be patient with myself. My invitation, please, this week, be patient with yourself. Be patient with the process. Be patient with the Lord. Because the Lord is patient with you.